The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Check out the critically acclaimed release, Curse of the Red River, the brand new full-length album by Baron Earth. This album combines the best elements of metal, prog, and more obscure psychedelic rock. Visit Peaceville at PEACEVILLE.com to buy the CD and to check out other great metal acts. Use the links in today's show notes of the Talking Metal podcast to open your iTunes and download Baron Earth.
Mr. and Mrs. America and all ships at sea, this is Bobby Blitz from Overkill, coming at you live on Talking Metal.
Rock over London,
Zurich,
Auckland,
Dublin,
Dallas,
Milwaukee,
Los Angeles,
Sydney,
Indianapolis,
Tokyo,
Seattle,
Paris,
Budapest,
Berlin,
New York. Ladies and gentlemen, two men who are committed to rocking you wherever you might be, John Astronomy and Mark Striegel. Welcome to the Talking Metal Podcast, broadcasting around the world from TalkingMetal.com and Striegel'sMusicNews.com.
Hey guys, John Astronomy here. Welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. We got a great episode for you today. This show features an interview Mark and I conducted with Bobby Blitz Ellsworth from Overkill at our March live show. And basically the episode is the second half of the live show. Mark is away on vacation and I hope he has a great time. I actually just got back from tour with Ace Frehley. And let me tell you guys, it was an amazing experience. I traveled everywhere with Ace and helped him during the concerts, helped him before and after. Just basically was Ace's assistant and sort of like a personal tour manager. And it was really cool. And we did 3 gigs. One was at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. It's a casino. One was in Atlantic City at the House of Blues. And by the way, that is the biggest House of Blues ever. It is like a huge place and it's really cool. And then we ended up at the Nokia Theater in Times Square. The band is sounding amazing. New guitarist Todd Youth is really, really cool. And Anthony Esposito on bass, Scotty Coogan on drums. Unbelievable group, and like I said, I never heard the band sound as great as they sounded on these last 3 shows, and a lot more great stuff to come. Go to acefrehley.com, check out his MySpace, check out his Facebook, his Twitter, subscribe to all those things, guys, and you will not be disappointed. So anyway, guys, hope you guys are all doing well, and just want to cover a couple of news bits, and then I want you to check out the interview with Bobby Blitz, which happens about 40 minutes, I think, into this live show, because part of it is just Mark and I kind of hanging out for a while. So the big news is that Metal Mike has some gigs coming up, and if you're in a town where he's playing, you got to go see him. And what you should do is go to the wire section of TalkingMetal.com, and you will see all things related to Metal Mike's gigs that are coming up. So don't forget to do that. Check out the TalkingMetal.com site. Check out our MySpace page, check out the Talking Metal forums, all that kind of stuff. You can find it through the link section of TalkingMetal.com. And enjoy the podcast, guys. So here it is, the second part of our March live show featuring Bobby Blitz Ellsworth from Overkill. Check it out.
Talking Metal caught off guard.
Yeah.
I hope we were all in the hot tub, broadcasting the audio.
Yeah. We were talking about, guys, here's what we were talking about. I hung out with Judy Landers from the 80s, an amazing actress, last night.
She's actually from the past. I love that.
No, and she has two really cool daughters, and they have a band called Official Hot Mist, and we did a photo session.
Cool. When do we get to see those photos?
We will get to see them soon. Chauncey from Stepping Out.
Is that what it was for?
Stepping Out. So everybody will get to see them in a few weeks in Stepping Out magazine. We will provide those links.
Very good.
Now, I have to say, this was not like the Savannah Sampson session. That was a totally different type of photo session. This was, you know, a legit, that was legit, but that was for Savannah's adult site. This was for Stepping Out magazine.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
Were you in the adult photos?
I was in two adult photos.
Playing a police officer.
Yes. with Savannah Sampson.
And no pants.
Yes. I had pants on, but she didn't.
A badge, a gun, and nothing else.
Well, Chauncey's a great guy, by the way. Now, did you remember him from Howard Stern?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and he's just such a nice guy, like a really great guy. Plus, he's a really talented photographer. I mean, I saw some of the shots, and I just would have not known how to set that stuff up with those umbrellas. He's like a Jay Bones, you know, but for photography.
Which this explains why there was a full feature on John Astronomy in Stepping Out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I help out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Although, it wasn't my idea. Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
That was a good feature on Astronomy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. There was one little blunder, but...
What was it? Oh, when they put Metal Maniacs and they spelled it wrong?
Yeah,
was
I didn't know.
It was like the original Metal Maniac.
They corrected it in the second
online
printing.
Version. Yeah. It said I was a maniac.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway,
Gary discovered that. I didn't even notice that. He's a different guy. That's our other friend.
Okay, let's get into some more Shredding the Envelope here. We'll hear Caravan of Cannibals, which I first misread as Caravan of Cannabis.
This isn't... who's a metal band?
A much better caravan to roll into your town. if you see a caravan coming, you better hope it's the Caravan of Cannabis and not the Caravan of Cannibals. Especially
you
if
might
you're
get eaten
fat
but, yeah.
And juicy.
See, my wife was telling me about some guy who, do you hear about this? Yesterday he was on like some show like Cops or something, and he swallowed, he was arrested, and he had a bag of weed on him. And he put the bag of weed in his mouth and chewed it and was trying to swallow it so they wouldn't. But he started choking on it.
Oh, no.
And he died.
Oh, my God.
Choking on a bag of weed.
Jeez.
Which he would have gotten like a $30 ticket for.
And he died for choking
on
like
weed. It's like barely against the law anymore. But so there you go.
This wasn't a live version of Cops,
of
was it?
Cannabis. No. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, because that would be pretty insane if he died on the air.
No, but it is on YouTube, apparently. Oh. So, yeah. And apparently he was a gay porn actor, too, on top of that. So,
so you would think his gag reflex would be looser.
That's true, yeah.
Story, man. Yeah. The things you'll hear on an episode of Talking Metal Live.
Oh, man, the listeners are just dropping off here.
We might go, maybe we won't go back to this format. We were discussing how to possibly... you know, alter the format of the Talking Metal podcast, adding a little more just conversation. But
well, one thing I was thinking of, we could actually turn in the whole 3 hours of Talking Metal Live into actual podcast episodes. Just play the whole entire hour.
Right.
Per, you know.
And say, yeah, that's an episode. Just live, as is.
Yeah, as is. Yeah.
Right.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
Anything that makes less work for us.
Right, I know. You know what I was thinking? We got to make it so it's really fun. And guys, it's not that we're saying it's not always fun, but, you know, sometimes we're under the gun and trying to get things done and in time. And, you know, the key to talking metal is to have fun while doing talking metal.
Yes, it is.
And definitely. We need to do that. And we have to say, guys, sometimes it appears to be work.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out how to make that not the case.
Well, the Caravan of Cannabis could help that situation, actually. So having said that, let's get into Caravan of Cannibals by Shredding the Envelope, followed by a little George Lynch. And then we're having our first professional athlete join us on the program.
In 7 minutes, Corey Proctor from the Dallas Cowboys.
Can you believe it?
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he's also from a great metal band called Free Reign.
Yeah. We're going to talk all about it. And Bud Friendly has something to say.
I was a shot putter in the 72 Olympics. But that's not actually professional athletics.
See, back then it wasn't. See, now professionals can take part in the Olympics, but before you had to be an amateur.
Okay.
Right.
Sure thing.
And we're definitely a bunch of amateurs.
Yes. Shredding the Envelope, Caravan of Cannibals, here on Talking Metal. Check it out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's Talking Metal Live. And these guys to my left claim to be Mark Striegel and John Astronomy.
There you go.
Yes.
But I don't know if they are.
I love Josh Astrology, though. That has to be good. One of the good, good names. Good. I might just have to change my name to that.
You should,
it's
you
a good radio name.
Right?
Good radio name.
Copyright that and trademark that immediately.
Yeah, just in case.
Wear actually, a weird Sagittarius medallion. Yeah.
And also get the domain name.
Yeah. Domain,
a wizard's
from GoDaddy.
Hat.
Yeah, from GoDaddy, right?
Magic
make
wand.
Sure you put in Metal One to get 1 cent off.
Metal Wand.
So we're waiting for Corey from Free Reign to call in, and he hasn't called in as of yet. It's 8:05.
Maybe
what
he
do you
thinks
think?
It's a different time zone or something. I don't know.
Well,
perhaps pulled a hamstring.
Maybe he listened to the first part and decided not to come on.
Yeah, that's also possible. Well, you want to take a little wager on whether he'll call in or not?
Ah, I could get three guys from the Cleveland Browns to call in 10 minutes.
Well, let's see here.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I guess we could go to some more music. I wanted to have Victor call in, actually, too, but I don't want him to
call in when Corey Proctor might be calling in. I have a feeling that if he doesn't call in the next 10 minutes, he's confused on the time zone.
Yeah. Victor, if you're listening, I'm not sure if you still have the number, but feel free to call in. I would say any, you know, probably between 8:30 and 8:45.
Right.
You know, and Blitz.
Who's Victor? Your ride home?
Well, actually, he did give me a ride home from here once. But Victor is the Talking Metal correspondent, if you will,
in
over
Spain.
In Spain. And he has his own show on markstriegelradio.com. Mars Attacks also does a show in Spanish called Sonic.
Habla
Metal Sonica. Yeah, there you go.
You know, I'm getting sick once again of the .coms and .nets and .tvs. I was sick of that before I got into the internet, and now I'm sick of it again.
What? Why?
I'm just sick of hearing .com after everything.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm kidding, guys. I mean, I'm not in the
You better
bad
get used to it.
Anything,
I don't think it's going anywhere.
I know. It's just like everything is like something.com.
Right.
TalkingMetal.com.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nice plug.
Well, talk about that, TalkingMetal.com. You're currently
Yes, yeah,
doing
I'm
something.
Currently moving TalkingMetal.com to what you would think is where we always should have been. See, right now, basically, the Talking Metal site is spread out onto numerous websites. Striegelsmusicnews.com, that's where most of our general content and web pages are, and then all of our MP3 files live on CaptainT.com, and sometimes that gets a little confusing to people, namely advertisers, when they're wondering, you know, why do I see that TalkingMetal.com doesn't get any hits? And the reason is because TalkingMetal.com doesn't really live on at that location. It's a pointer to these other places, like online. So what we're trying to do...
Ha! Take that, Burger King!
Yeah. So we're moving them all to TalkingMetal.com.
Right.
It's going to be a slow process because, you know, I'm going to have to change a lot of links and do a lot of different things.
And will the RSS feed change?
That
how will that affect people who get the podcast through
iTunes?
Yeah,
that's going to probably be the last thing that winds up moving. And the true answer to that is I'm not quite sure yet. I'm going to contact iTunes directly because we know someone there who is a fan of Talking Metal and see what his suggestions are. Because back in the old days, you know, once you had an RSS feed, you could never, ever move it. So, and we'd love to move it to our TalkingMetal.com server. So we need to look into that. So just stay tuned, guys. If you ever see that a link doesn't work or something, feel free to let us know. Because sometimes, you know, I may make a mistake when I'm moving things. But just bear with us. It's going to be a slow process.
Moving
but
drinks down your throat, right?
Yes. That's why there could be an error. But it's going to be neat when we get it all done. And it's going to be pretty cool. And now, when we do that, now, what do you think you're going to do at StriegelsMusicNews.com? Are you going to keep it?
Nah, I don't think so.
I'll just let it go.
I got markstriegel.net.
Right.
So.
Well, which
sell
is
that shit to CNBC.
Yeah, you know what? there's actually another site called SMNNews.com.
Yeah, which is just
a coincidence that. And what's weird is they deal in metal as well, which is even more of a coincidence.
I'll probably just let Striegel's Music News go. Little fun fact, that was actually started way, way back about 6 years ago before Talking Metal.
Right.
We put that up because John and I and this other guy, Eric, were Eric Bonenstiel were appearing on
VH1,
yeah, and just wanted to have some kind of presence online at the time.
It was a good idea that you had. You wanted to have like a music news site, and we were talking about.
I still get weird. I like Bonenstiel. He's you know, we've given him so many opportunities to come on the show with us, and it just.
I'm not sure.
Never seems to
I remember surfing Striegel's music news from the prison computer terminal before I was on this show.
Oh, okay.
I was in the early days, right?
Early days. Late in the sentence. Early days for you.
Right. Yeah. Now, when did you get out, bud?
Some say I'm still in.
Oh. You're really good. I think you're a highlight of this program, without a doubt.
So do I.
Yeah.
Now, so let's talk about what astronomy's up to, because a lot of people...
What's astronomy up to? Yeah.
I mean, I know sometimes you don't have time to check out the message boards
and
stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I do, however, as everybody knows, you know, I do the web work for the Talking Metal site, but that sometimes... you know, back in the day, you know, I was really busy doing...
Professional
work.
What you're doing.
Okay. Professionally, what am I doing, metal, or just what am I doing in general with everything?
Just in everything. You've been, I mean, people know you do work for Nickelodeon and MTV Networks, but you're also doing stuff for Gibson
right.
And there's another exciting
really
thing,
cool thing
that,
happening,
that you've been doing lately, which is, can you talk about who you've been helping out and doing work for?
Yeah, I've been working as a personal assistant for the great Ace Frehley of KISS fame, and... It's been an honor for me to work with Ace because he's been my favorite rock star since I was a kid. And, you know, in addition to my dad, who is a great musician, still is, and plays guitar and keyboards and all that kind of stuff. But, Ace was always my favorite rocker, and it's really a great opportunity to work with him. And he really trusts me, which is a real cool thing. And I'm going to be going on tour with Ace coming up. He's going to be doing 3 dates on the East Coast. Mohegan Sun Casino on Friday, March 19th. The House of Blues in Atlantic City on Saturday, March 20th. And then finishing up at the Nokia Theater in New York City, which coincidentally is where I also work for Nickelodeon, MTV Viacom building. That's going to be on Sunday, the 21st. And it's going to be a great time, guys. You know, you really should come out to support Ace and just have a great time seeing his band if you're in the area. And the exciting thing, he's got Todd Youth on guitar now. We're still good friends with Derek Hawkins, who was on...
What happened with that?
I'm not sure, guys. Yeah, I really don't know. And that's truly the honest answer. And as we said on the podcast, you know, we wish Derek the best, and we're excited to see Todd Youth. Now, what's interesting about Todd Youth is that he literally, like at some young age, like 12 or something, was like on stage at, like CBGB's with like, you know, some of the New York bands that were playing there back in like the 80s. He was like some kid who also performed with like major punk
like
groups
who?
And stuff. Yeah, we should look it up on Wikipedia. You know what? Maybe I will look that up. But anyway,
then
after that, he wound up playing in D-Generation, which must have been just after we saw them, because I remember like it was Jesse Malin.
Well, they had that one guitar player, Danny Sage.
Sage,
I feel like the other guitar player changed 2, maybe 3 times.
Yeah, there was Richard Bacchus, I think, was one of them when I think that was his name. And we knew Danny Sage because we knew a friend, his girlfriend. What was her name?
I didn't really know her well. She was friends with
Nikki. Yeah. I've been over her past. I think I got one of Danny Sage's coats to this day. But anyway, yeah. So Todd Youth was in D-Generation, and then he went on to play in Danzig. And I think he was possibly in Danzig at the same time as Steve Zing.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, and then he's currently also doing a project with Michael Monroe, and now he's out in the West Coast. So he's really, you know, one of these, like, cool... You know, guys that are in demand and are playing with all the cool bands like Michael Monroe's and the Ace Frehley's and stuff like that. So that'll be interesting. And then also Scotty Coogan on drums from Nikki Sixx's group, Brides of Destruction. And then we have Anthony Esposito, of course, from the Lynch Mob, who is, you know, our friend. And
we just heard playing on that Lynch Mob song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have an update on Corey Proctor. We have Jen from Chipster. We're emailing back and forth with her. He should have called in. She's trying to track him down, and that is the update.
Official word. So we're looking for Corey Proctor.
And
guard for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What do you want to do? Some music? You want to keep talking?
Yeah, let's keep talking for a minute. Okay, let's ask what you're up to, Mark.
Boy, yeah, just staying busy. You know, the Screaming Metal thing was a lot of fun out at Dingbats. We didn't sell the place out this time.
Yeah.
We had about half of what we had last year, which was still one of the biggest
great
nights.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. Yeah. I was talking to the guy who works there, and he was like, oh, we had a big night on Friday night. And I was like, oh, really? I said, who played? He said, Blackwater Rising, who we've had on the podcast, and great-sounding band. And I was like, oh, so how many people did they have? And he was like, oh, they had close to 40 people. And I was thinking, well, then tonight must be a smash hit because we had we had 100 people at Dingbats.
Yeah, and that was like paying people. Then if you like, I guarantee there were people there that didn't pay to get in. So, you know, does that count the opening groups people or
no?
Oh, okay.
Just
so
our people. They had four.
Four
people. So
104 plus.
Here I was feeling all bad that Hollywood Kills, their name was, you know, Dan had been like, oh, you should get them on the podcast. And, you know, we're using their equipment, which I'm thankful for that we got to use their equipment. But four fucking people?
Yeah.
I mean, geez. I mean, last year we had a real cool band. What was that band? Low Buzz opened, and they had like 60 people there, you know? And it's like, so, you know, and then we had over 250 or something.
So between that, it was like 300
people in the place. It was technically sold out.
This time there was 104 plus whoever got in for free.
You figure a couple of guys in that band getting to fights with their girlfriends, they got two people at the show.
Yeah.
Maybe one.
Yeah.
Well, each person should bring at least a couple of people to the gig.
Well, Dan said to me, he's like, how many people you got for the guest list? And I had like, you know, 10, 15 friends coming down. None of them were on the guest list. So it's like, because, you know, I know how important those numbers are for the door. So we're trying to decide what to do next, guys, with another Screaming Metal gig. And I wanted to ask you guys out there, would you be interested in making a trip to New York City? I'm not talking
not
about Clifton,
Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
To see Screaming Metal play on a big stage. And I can tell you one thing. If we do it in New York City, the special guests are definitely going to... There's definitely going to be more of them. And I think that we probably get some bigger names, you know?
Yeah. No offense to the great people that showed up at the last gig, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think we'll get all those people.
Yeah,
too.
Those same
Metal
guys
Mike
will come.
And, you know, we'll be there.
And hopefully, you know, we would have always had Bumblefoot and maybe Frank Ferrer at the gigs, but just coincidentally, they've been on tour with Guns N' Roses. So try to book it so that they can come, and then all the same dudes that we had at the last gig, and then a bunch of people who, you know, if you're not from this area, guys. Getting to Clifton is a bit of a production if you're from like Long Island or a Manhattan person.
Well, yeah, I mean, because there's no direct train out there. I believe it's a bus and, you know.
And it's just like a project. And in New York City, guys, not everybody, like most New Yorkers don't have cars. So, like, you know, you can do everything you want in New York City, so you don't really need to go anywhere. And so getting to Clifton is a production. Thank God Jay Bones picked me up on his way out to the gig. Yeah. And... or else I wouldn't even have got home. And then here's what's even funnier. I stayed in a hotel because it's still such a production to get home. And when we were going to the hotel, there was a sign that said Jersey City, 10 miles. So, like...
That's what I was talking to Emily, and I was like, well, John's staying in a hotel. She was like, isn't Clifton... Like right down the street from Jersey City, and I was like, yeah, it actually is. So she was, and then I was like, yeah, but he didn't want to, you know, have to drive all the way back.
He didn't want to give the hooker bus fare back home.
And then, you know, we were thinking, we were like, well, a hotel room probably cost you $100 at least.
This one was a little less.
Yeah. Well, you could have taken a cab for $25.
Yeah, I know. It's like, but here's the thing.
You could have had a party at your place.
Yeah, I know. My place was a little dirty, but we didn't even take the gear back. I didn't even tell you this. Me and Jay Bones hung out for so long that Freddie was just like, just leave it. So we left the gear. We went back the next day and got it. They had to open up Dingbat specifically for us to get the amps out, and they couldn't figure out how to turn the lights on in Dingbat. Seriously, I had this little flashlight, and we had to go in the complete pitch dark of Dingbats and find the gear. Wow. Which we then got, and luckily it worked, and then we went home.
Cool. Yeah. Well, it was a fun night nonetheless. I thought balls to the wall.
We
had Dave come up and sing it with us, and Metal Mike and guitar was the highlight of the night for me personally.
Yeah. Dave is a good singer, and he's a cool dude. And you know, I was really happy that Ron Lipnicki got up on stage.
Yeah, who Ron played drums with us last time, and because of his schedule with Overkill, I guess it didn't work out this time.
Right, but he still came to the gig, and he was great, and he came up on stage. And. And you know what? I also want to thank Freddie, the owner of Dingbats, because he is really, really nice. He took me on a tour across the street. He owns another bar lounge called Dingo's.
And how is that?
It's pretty neat, actually. Like, there's, you know, in the back, there's like pool tables and stuff. But like in the front, there's a bar. And then there's some cool, like, kind of like booths, but they're kind of cool. They're like red velvet. It's kind of got like a rock vibe to it.
Cool.
It's pretty neat. Got like a planetarium on the roof in the back. And, or, you know, what was that? Is that a planetarium where you can see stars and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
I think so, you're the astronomer, aren't
you? Yeah, I should know that. You forgot. This is John Astrology.
Well, the update on Corey is that Jen from Chipster is calling the manager. I actually think we're going to have to move on here.
And, I think we're going to. Maybe you should say that because we have Blitz coming in at 9 and he could be here, you know, prior to 9, that we might have to just reschedule Corey Proctor of the Dallas Cowboys in free reign for the next show.
Sure. Maybe we should do that. Let me see what we got on deck here music-wise. You want to hear a little, the new Priestess. You want to check that out?
Priestess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't know who that is. Yeah. It's actually a pretty cool band. I saw them, I believe, in Brooklyn many years ago.
Cool.
North 6. Is that a place in Brooklyn? Yeah. I think that's where I saw them. What's it called, JD? It's called the Music Hall of Williamsburg. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Saw a couple shows there.
There was a song that Wendell Williams had that said the word priestess.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, when I search priestess in my iTunes,
that came up.
Yeah, I get that. That is.
Yeah, that's a great tune. Play that after, if you have it.
Okay, I could do that.
Let's hear the new Priestess followed by the song in which Wendy Williams says the word priestess.
So we'll play Lady Killer, brand new Priestess. I don't even think it's out yet. Followed by the song Priestess by the Plasmatics, featuring Wendy Williams.
See, I think that was really a Wendy Williams song that now when they re-released it on iTunes, they say it's the Plasmatics.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it was Plasmatics live doing that song that was officially
right,
on the Wow record.
The Wow record was Wendy Williams.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And for some reason, it comes up as the Plasmatics.
Yeah, I think there's some kind of new re-release of that.
That's interesting.
And then how about if we follow that one up with Judas Priestess? No, I'm kidding.
I don't
we don't have any other music that's, you know, readily available to play at the moment. So,
well, let's get into this. This is Lady Killer by Priestess here on Talking Metal.
Followed by Priestess.
What you just heard was a little Wendy O here on Talking Metal. Yeah, so No Go with Corey from Free Reign / the Dallas Cowboys. Too bad. We are going to move on. We're going to actually start the interview early with Bobby Blitz tonight. He is in the studio now. We're just setting up some lights because we're going to shoot this actually for our YouTube page and also for MTV2's Headbangers Ball. So stay tuned for that, guys. I wanted to mention that our friends White Wizard will be on the next episode of the Talking Metal podcast, and their new record, Over the Top, is now out. So you guys should definitely go check that out on iTunes. It is a great listen, traditional, solid, great heavy metal. So let's check out the new White Wizard here on Talking Metal, followed by some brand new Overkill.
Yeah.
And we're back with Talking Metal Live. And in the studio, we've got a very special guest seated to my right. That's to your left if you're listening at home, Bobby Blitz.
Bobby, thanks very, very much for coming down. The Ironbound record is unbelievable. Both Mark and I ran out, bought our copies, and just are blown away by this record. I was listening to it all last weekend with Jay, and it's just an unbelievable record. My favorite song is The Goal Is Your Soul.
You know what's good about this record? Everybody has a different favorite song, which is making me think that there's 10 great cuts on there.
Yeah, that's the key. Because sometimes, you know, there's one song that everyone likes and nobody talks about the other tunes.
Sure,
but seriously, I think the whole record's great, but that was the one that stuck out for me.
I got to Switzerland. We did a great venue called Z7 in Prattlin, which is right outside Basel. And there is Basel. There is a photographer that meets us there. He goes, "Blitz, finally, all killer, no filler."
I love it. There you go. I mean, it is a great record. The music video, I guess, first single, if you will, "Bring Me the Night," great track. My favorite, "Give a Little," though, just love it. It brings me back, especially the chorus, such an old school feel to it. Was there a conscious decision to kind of tap back into the old sounds? I mean, it still has sonically a very contemporary sound, but there are elements of this record that do maybe skew a little old school, if you will.
You know, I think the old school vibe that's in there is those gang vocals that, right, you know, that we're all used to hearing when the fire was lit and the revolution started back in the 80s. But I think it's reinvented, and that's really the idea of it. There was no conscious vibe. The record formed on its own. I think that really the X factor for the record was, you know, in March of 09, it was Overkill Exodus for Europe. In April of 09, we start assembling this. So, you know, under the doorways and through the cracks in the studio walls snuck in the road chemistry as we were putting this together. And that's kind of an old school tour, Overkill Exodus. So when we started putting this thing together, next thing we knew, we had kind of an old school reinvented record.
Right.
So it's back then, but again, with a contemporary presentation.
Yeah.
Now, do Dave and Derek come up with riffs and bring them to you guys? How does the song start out?
Didi is the bone collector.
Oh, okay. Wow.
he's the one. Everything starts with him, and he'll put that into kind of a skeletal version of a song. So that's the beginning of the songs. What happens after that is that it does go through Derek and Dave, because obviously that input is really important. And I think one of the things I hear in Ironbound is that as much as it's thrash and bash and beat 'em up, you know, there is a contemporary and solid and talented to no end guitar line that's a weave through this whole record that almost gives it kind of a progressive vibe. So it has to go through those guys to, let's say, get the final outcome. But starts with Dee Dee, ends with myself.
Wow.
And there's, as I mentioned, a brand new video, "Bring Me the Night." Can you talk a little bit about where it was shot, who you worked with on the video?
Shot in Brooklyn. Mr. Kevin Custer, Toaster in the Tub. I love saying Toaster in the Tub. That's a great production company. Kevin is of, you know, Hatebreed, Testament, some rap fame. He did a clip with us for the Immortalis record called Skull and Bones.
Which, great clip.
But we took a lot of live stuff from Wacken Open Air, and then Randy Blythe from Lamb of God and myself got together in Richmond with Kevin, and we did this green screen stuff in an old factory. And Kevin was, since that moment, telling me, the next one's mine. The next one's fully mine. I want the whole thing on the next record. And when we signed to E1 in the States and Nuclear Blast everywhere else in the rest of the world, we knew we had a solid video budget. And what Kevin did was really simply said, it's all about energy, relentless energy. I said, that's the vision. It's all about energy, relentless energy. And I said, that simplicity really helped us, because that understanding is something that we have had of the band for the amount of time that the band's existed. It's about relentless energy. So Kevin took that and, you know, added some lighting effect, but really depended on the band's energy to make the clip happen.
Now, did you guys record the whole record in Dee Dee's studio?
Yeah.
And now Dave has Dave is involved in recording as well. So did he co-engineer it with Didi, or
they have the same gear? It's like it's identical. It's like it would mirror each other. Dave's down in Florida, and occasionally we do leads down there. But this time we kind of brought as much as we could together. So cool. Dave did engineer on this, and those guys are a really great team with regard to that technology. They understand the computers. They understand, you know, what needs to be done. They understand good takes. So that production was primarily done by both of them. Yes.
Very cool.
And the word iron bound has a very metallic sound to it, if you will. But it's also living in New Jersey. It's also known as a neighborhood in Newark. Is there any coincidence there that maybe the name came from that neighborhood in Newark, or?
You know. Obviously, there's the figurative ironbound. Let's say us tied to the scene by the metal ribbons, but I don't think there's a kid in New Jersey who lives in the north part of Jersey who goes down to the shore who doesn't say, "What a great name for a neighborhood, Ironbound." Right. Right. And you know, we were thinking figurative, but said, "You know, what's even cooler is that it's actually geographic, so it really gives that Jersey stamp to it." And I never knew why it was called the Ironbound, but looked it up after this, and it's an immigrant neighborhood of Portuguese, Spanish, Germans. Right outside the port of Newark. And they say that from the sky, because of the train tracks that run through it, it looks like it's tied to the earth by metal ribbons. Uh-huh. And I said, that actually works, doesn't it?
Right. Very cool.
It seems to me that there's such a kind of like old school vibe just going on in the state of metal nowadays. You were talking about the tour you did with Exodus, which was kind of like an I'm sure you guys were on tour with Exodus back in the day. And do you feel that there's a resurgence of thrash and old school metal going on right now?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. And you know, I have to attribute it to more so the younger bands than the old guard. I mean, the younger bands have created a new interest in this scene based on, oh, geez, their commitment, which is really a lot the same as when bands like Overkill, Exodus had started, Death Angel, Testament, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's even social and political themes that reflect each other in
that are happening now.
That are happening now, that happened then, right. Whether that be war, whether that be economics, et cetera, et cetera. And these are great reasons to start a revolution. And, you know, I always think of those 80s as revolution and really signing on, saying, you know, this is, I'm in for life. You know, it was really simple. But I think that this resurgence is based on their interest in the old days, but the validity is based on those social and political themes that are happening right now.
Right. They're not faking it. They're living through that. And so they're writing from the heart. They're not trying to come out and say, we're going to sound just like Overkill did.
It's not a fake out. No, it's the real deal. And I think because of that, then you start seeing stronger releases from bands like ourselves. I mean, starting with the formation of Damnation from Testament all the way up to Endgame, and I think even including Ironbound, that the old guard said, wait a second, this is the way it's done. this is what we do. But I think that the young bands are really directly responsible for this, and some of them are just fantastic. And, you know, even on this upcoming tour, we're taking Warbringer again with us.
Oh, I love those Evil guys. Right.
We had Gamma Bomb overseas with us on a tour. Just took a Greek band called Suicidal Angels. I mean, and these are kind of that new thrash guard, and that's it's kind of cool to have that competition of the old and the new, because, you know, my opinion is, I said, you can kiss my ass for 5 minutes, but I plan on burying you on that stage.
Right. I had such a great time at the Starland Ballroom when you guys played with Warbringer, and it really brought me back to the 80s, and you know, made me feel like I did when I, you know, went to concerts when I was like in high school, and I just had a great time at that gig.
They're all wearing mine and Dee Dee's high top white sneakers. We sold them all for them.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about bands like Warbringer, but first I wanted to go back to the early 80s when bands like Overkill and Megadeth, even Anthrax were coming out, Metallica for that matter. You guys really, in a way, invented a sound that didn't exist prior to that point, which, you know, and again, we'll talk about the younger bands who didn't really invent anything new. They're kind of, you know, carrying the torch that you guys started. Can you talk about how that happened? And in your opinion, you know, the sounds and the bands that you were listening to and the direction that you pushed it in, and how it all kind of thrash metal and just the new sound of metal that hit in the early 80s, how that all kind of came about.
You know, I think it by chance, first and foremost. It was obviously a voice in the dark, and who could scream the loudest at one particular time as we were developing. But it really was the harnessing of chaos, where everything prior to that was planned. The only thing that was really chaotic before that was punk rock. And we were huge punk rock fans. I mean, if you lived in New York or lived in New Jersey, you considered the Ramones yours. You just lent them out to other people when they went out on the road and toured. But you could go down to St. Mark's Place, and you could see Johnny and Dee Dee Ramone having a beer in a bag, leaning on Trash and Vaudeville on the on 3rd and St. Mark's, and it was just awesome. It was a fantastic feeling, and you know, we pogoed at Seabees, we saw shows, the Dead Boys at the Ritz, we saw the Dead Boys in smaller places. This was the chaos that we added to what the metal was. We loved the new wave of British heavy metal, Tank and Angel Witch and Venom. And even the early Iron Maiden stuff was considered within that realm.
Sure.
But I think with Overkill, what we did with regard to creating a sound, and I can't talk about other bands because they're signature sounds from the Bay Area, which are likened to the Bay Area. You can pick that out. But in New York, we took that new wave of British heavy metal and just forced the punk into it. And I think that that gave us the X factor of originality to some degree. I mean, I think Anthrax did it to some degree also. Mm-hmm. They did it more so, I think, with hardcore than we did, and as we did more so with punk. But I think that that was the creation of the sound. But the reality was, is that these were two genres we liked. So when Overkill was a cover band. I mean, we would open up with the Dead Boys' Sonic Reducer into Ace of Spades by Motorhead into Murders in the Rue Morgue. So, I mean, you're really talking about three totally different separate entities.
Yeah.
And that's how the sound created for us was understanding that there was more than just one thing.
Yeah.
But also being that voice in the dark and harnessing that chaos, because there's so much power in that chaos. You know, what's the difference between Ironbound and Field of Fire from 1985? One is pure chaos. The other one is controlled chaos. It's knowing when to wield the hammer and when to crack the whip, as opposed to just doing it indiscriminately and hitting everything possible.
Yeah.
So I think there's more power as time goes on. And this is how we developed. And that's the origin of the sound, in my opinion.
Definitely. That's definitely insightful. And when you look at bands like Warbringer, who you've already mentioned that you like, and I like them too, but I have heard criticism thrown at them that, okay, when bands like Overkill and Metallica and Megadeth and Anthrax were doing their thing, they invented this sound. They moved different genres of music into a new place, whereas Warbringer don't do that. They are pretty much textbook as to what you guys, Overkill, Exodus, were doing, you know, 20, 25 years ago. And I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just thinking, as one of the people who were involved in pinpointing this sound, how do you feel about a band that is not really taking the sound in a new direction and is more just flying the flag?
No, of course not. I think it's great that these guys have this type of inspiration. And obviously I hear riffs that I've heard before from other bands, from Testament and Exodus and Death Angel, for instance, in some of this new thrash material that's out, this new wave. But, you know, the cool thing about it is that we also took stuff from other people. I mean, we can't just say that we were struck by lightning and the sound appeared and we were blessed like so. I think what happens is that, and in the origin and at the beginning, that happens is borrowing and celebrating influence and walking down a path that has already been cut through the jungle or the woods. Eventually, you have to get off that path. And bands at last get off that path and find out what their own stamp is and how they put that stamp on their music by changing their influence, by using it as motivation, but changing it to making it their own. And I see this obviously will happen with some of these bands. I mean, the ones at last will eventually take this original path, say, you know, to hell with following the road that's traveled. Let's sharpen up the machetes and get into the woods and create our own path. And that's where originality happens, and that's where a uniqueness happens, and that's where value happens. And I think that the bands you mentioned from the 80s all did that at one point.
Definitely.
Had to have.
Without question. Had to.
Yeah. When you listen to the Metallica Garage Days stuff, you know what their influences are.
Yeah.
But obviously, they used a lot of that, but went in and redefined what heavy metal was for, you know, for that era and that generation.
Now, do you and Didi find it easier now that you know how to control the chaos to write together, or was it easier back in the day where you kind of just were throwing everything together?
We go to Warbringer shows and just steal their good stuff.
Yeah, just that's like, you tape it.
Did Nikki Sixx say that in an interview? Yeah, of course I go to shows, but I only steal the good stuff.
Right. And then my other question was, what keeps you and Didi together all these years?
You know, it's unique. You know, first with regard to the writing, I think it's always exciting for us because, you know, there's the same set of principles and values that have always been there. And that's hugely important with regard to what we do because, you know, there's no backdoor plan to come into, you know, modern culture where we're a subculture. We're the underground. We're part of the underground. We're a small part of the wheel as opposed to the whole wheel. And I think that we've always understood that. So that then you get the opportunity to be free enough to do it for yourself and to do what you like doing as opposed to any kind of outside pressures, public opinions. None of that really matters. It doesn't matter that Gamma Bomb has this great record out now or working on a great record or Warbringer's released a great record or Bonded by Blood, et cetera, et cetera. It matters what we do, paying attention to our own house. So I think when that happens, inspiration is still easy to come by because you love this stuff. With regard to Didi and myself, I think that the key to, you know, a relationship for this amount of time, and I always love saying this in interviews, he'd be nothing without me, nothing. I've been carrying him for 25 years on my back. But we did an interview in Tokyo, and as hospitable as these people are and serious, through interpreters, we were sitting at, like in the Hyatt in the conference room upstairs, and Didi hardly does interviews, but they got him out for this one. And we're sitting in two chairs, we're drinking beers or coffee, and they said, "Can you tell me about the relationship through the interpreter?" And he jumps ahead and says, "I've been carrying that drunk for 25 years. He wouldn't even be selling cars if it wasn't for me." And he goes to the interpreter, "Tell him." And the interpreter tells all the interviewers, right? You could have heard a pin drop in this place. Till I fell out of the chair holding my stomach, you know? Everybody realized the levity of it. But I think that that's really is the key, that there is no insult here, that the people within this band for the 30-year period, Didi and myself, put the people ahead of the band. And then the band really takes care of itself. You know, if I say, "Is everything cool? Do you need any help with this or anything else? Is the family okay?" "Yeah, it's okay. I need a little time to get this together." Or if he says that to me, I think there's a great understanding of where our priorities lie. So everything else follows really easy. It still amazes me when I think, hey, I know this guy for 30 years. And I know him really close. And I write songs with this dude for 30 years. I mean, that's pretty amazing accomplishment. But I think it's because there's friendship that precedes that of a business or songwriting relationship.
Right. Cool. And you mentioned you just got back from Europe. Any highlights from over there that you could share with us?
Fell right on my ass on stage. Hit the wet spot from Derek's side, came right down.
Where was that?
Prattlin. Okay. Prattlin, Switzerland. But the show was really cool. I mean, I have family over there, which is really great. We had we have Kids Day on the first day in the Netherlands where they all come out and they watch Soundcheck and we run it like a full show, you know, so the kids can come out and we all put them in Overkill shirts and my niece actually gave us a concert last time.
For
9 minutes with her violin. And I was running around. This was on the Exodus tour going, "Look, guys, my niece is out there on the stage and we're running the smoke and the strobe lights right now. She's playing her violin. Cool. I need Exodus and Overkill out there applauding."
Right.
Had such a great time with it, you know. It's one of the best family
and
videos.
I bet she was so excited to be on
tremendous.
Like the rock and roll, you know, metal stage with the whole nine yards going on and all you guys watching her.
Cute little blonde girl, violin, and behind her is the big Charlie Batskull, you know.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Tremendous. But the highlights of the show were that the record was accepted, or the shows, the record was accepted at such a high level that we're doing songs like Ironbound, and people are singing the choruses.
That is amazing.
I'm stopping Bring Me the Night, and this is the first pass through. The record's been out for 8 days, I'm saying. This is not normal, but obviously it's what the doctor ordered for the scene, and it's a good interjection of energy and obviously a contemporary release for the metal genre at this time. So, I mean, all of a high level, sold out shows all through Germany and full houses everywhere else. So.
And then you guys are getting ready to do U.S. dates now.
We go to South America this weekend.
Oh, South America first?
Yeah, we go to South America. We're actually – Chile had a second quake today.
Oh, I heard that, yeah.
Three aftershocks, and one was a 6.5 or a 6.9.
Wow.
And our first show is in Santiago on Tuesday.
Okay.
And so we're going to see what happens with that. But after the first quake, they wanted to move ahead with what they were doing. They said, we want to move ahead with this. We want to get Chile back in. You know, we want a normal life down here again. So we had agreed to do the show, come down anyway. So we go down to South America, you know, barring any, more problems in Santiago and in Concepcion, et cetera. And then we do the U.S. tour starting April 1 in Philadelphia, Trocadero.
Cool.
And it goes about a month, and we end at the Nokia in New York. And then it's Festival Madness for us, which is Wacken and all the good ones.
The last stuff from Wacken has just been, you know, the video is amazing. I mean, just to see you guys, I particularly like the Skull and Bones footage. And, I mean, it's just so cool to play in front of those gigantic crowds. I mean,
it really is. You know, it was 10 degrees Celsius that night, and so it was a little bit cold.
Wow.
And I remember standing on the side of the stage with Dee Dee, and I – was just wearing like a tank top, and I said, man, it's getting hot. So I guess I still get the fever standing in front of that amount of people.
Then you know that that's, you know, you're meant to be there doing it, because you still can get that feeling. Because I think, you know, sadly, there are probably a lot of bands of various genres that are out there doing it not because they love it, but you guys, you're still getting that same charge that you got 30 years ago.
Yeah, I always enjoy that when somebody yells something as we're leaving the dressing room, something like, give them the cold steel, boys. Everybody's charging up to the stage, and I'm thinking to myself, it's still fun in middle age.
Yeah. That's good. A good friend of ours is your drummer, Ron Lipnicki. Just wanted to mention him, and I know he's been with you a number of years at this point. I think this is his second record with you guys. Where did you originally find out about Ron, and how did he come into the fold for you? You know,
we had a problem with Tim Mallory. Well, it was actually Tim had a problem. It was a family issue that he had to handle, and had missed some festivals and missed some shows. And we sat down and talked with Tim, and we said, listen, we're going to get a guy. Not necessarily to take your place, but to not miss these other festivals and shows, because it's going to kill the momentum of the band if you can't do it. And I was doing a project called Accursed with Dan Lorenzo, or getting ready to do it. And Dan is more than just a local guitar hero. He's been in nonfiction in Hades and released some great records, and the nonfiction records obviously being something so far ahead of their time.
Yeah.
I just saw one of their reunions. I actually saw you guys there.
Yeah.
And it was, it was funny. I was talking with someone, I think it was his wife, Gina, and I said, isn't it funny how in 93 when this came out, it was so far ahead of its time, but in 2009 it's retro.
Yeah.
But it's Dan and I worked on that project, and when I had the drum problem, he immediately suggested Ron as the perfect fill-in. So no one else was auditioned. It was just supposed to be a fill-in when Tim didn't do it. And Tim, I think, became comfortable enough to say, they got somebody, I can go.
Yeah.
And he just left. We offered it to Ron. And, you know, he really is instrumental to what Ironbound is.
He sounds great on the record.
He's an incredible drummer. I mean, you don't break a wild horse. I mean, it's that simple. And if... you have to understand it's the drummer. Metal records are about the drummer. Everyone else, hang on. That's really what it has to be, and it has to be a great relationship between those drum sounds and the guitar sounds. But when Ron came in off the road and was ready to do this stuff, he gives Ironbound, in my opinion, that – X factor of the road coming in that takes the whole thing over the top, because the rest of us have to raise to that level. There's a, I mean, you can't lag behind. You can't say, listen, man, the tracks are too good. You got to redo them.
Right.
Can you bring them down a notch, you know? And it was, to me, truly inspiring to see him actually come of age, with, especially with regard to Overkill. He'd come of age as a drummer prior.
Right.
But with regard to Overkill, he'd come of age with this record, and he knows that he's steering the ship, and the rest of us are mere passengers on this.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Yeah. Good stuff, guys.
Great guy.
We want you to download Ironbound or buy the CD. It is available at Best Buy. I think that's where John and I both bought it.
Yes.
It is on iTunes. And Bobby, we wanted to just personally thank you, because I went to Best Buy, bought the CD, and I'm on the subway going back to work, and I open up the CD, and there is my name in the special thanks column, which I don't get a lot, and it meant a lot to me. So yeah. Thank you. And John was in there
thank
too.
You.
So we appreciate that, and it means a lot.
You'll get my bill.
Yeah. I mean, you're never going to be able to shake these guys.
Yeah.
Now you did it. Yeah.
I had no idea. I was surprised and honored.
We've touched an emotional nerve.
Yeah.
They're going to follow you home like puppies.
And we also have to thank you for doing what was my absolute favorite jam on the Talking Metal on Fuse shows, and that's when we did Overkill with Frankie Bello and Mike Portnoy, and you did an amazing vocal job.
The Turtle Head
kills.
Thing.
Yeah,
that's one of your biggest hits on there, isn't it?
Absolutely,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, man.
And we were working with Paul Di'Anno the other night, but I know you were in town, and you guys actually did that on stage at B.B. King's.
I played A Night with Hail.
Hail, right.
And Andreas from Sepultura, Mike Portnoy on drums, Ripper singing,
right.
Dave Elfson on the bass, and they invite people down, and they invited myself and Frank down, and
cool.
We did a Turtlehead reunion, and it was just, it was really a lot of fun. It's funny, though, you know, we were getting ready for this whole thing, and they said, but dude, we really want to come down, and they sent me this list of songs, and it was, you know, Overkill's Motorhead's Overkill,
right,
and the rest were AC/DC songs, you know. And I got back to him, I said, dude, I can do other stuff, you know.
AC/DC or that one too.
So what did you end up doing with them? You did Overkill by Motorhead, obviously.
I did Highway to Hell.
Okay.
And I did TNT.
oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
So and then they got rid of me. I said, I'm not doing any more AC/DC unless, unless I have a denim vest and somebody knocks a tooth out.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Bobby, for joining us. We're now going to get into a little brand new Overkill. This is a song I mentioned earlier, Give a Little, and we'll follow that up with Power Surge, a classic track off of Taking Over. So here it is, the brand new Overkill. Guys, use those links in today's show notes of the podcast. They will open up your iTunes and take you directly to Ironbound by Overkill, and you can download the record in full there.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for listening to Talking Metal Live. Thanks to Bobby Blitz. And right now, let's get into it.
Yeah, you know what? One last thing. Can we get a Talking Metal ID from you? I don't think we ever got one from Bobby yet.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. American, all ships at sea. This is Bobby Blitz from Overkill coming at you live on Talking Metal.
Cool. And this is Perfect. Give a Little by Overkill. Thanks, Bobby.